The reading today is Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27, which can be found on page 73 of the Church Bibles. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is God's word.
Thank you very much indeed, Natalie. And an appropriate time to say, seldom do we have any problems with our sound and technical support. So I want to thank you for those who are involved in helping it. And obviously, if you want to be involved in serving on one of those teams, do come and have a word with myself or Stuart. And we'd love to expand the team if we could. Now, do keep open page 73 as we come back to this quite short passage. But I think we'll find there's a lot in there for us this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, whatever condition of life or we're in at the moment, whatever season of life, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, that you would speak into our situations, whatever's going on in our lives at the moment, whatever might be just around the corner for us, and cause us and teach us to trust you. Amen. Because it's a bittersweet symphony, this life. It's a relatively old song by The Verve, but it does resonate with our experience, which I think explains a little bit of why it's been covered by so many artists, why it's been included in films. And it's also, you may know, it's the song that's used by ITV before the England football matches, which I feel a little bit ironic because it doesn't seem to have been much sweetness, just bitterness from what I can tell over the last few years. But whether or not you recognise that song, you will recognise that it is a good description of life, bitter sweet. And I guess, and I know that that's your life, more bitter than sweet maybe. Perhaps if you chart over the last few years or decades, it feels a little bit like it's been one trial after another for some of us. Some of us, we feel there's been so much bitterness that it's hard to remember any sweetness at all. And so if you've reached a point of relative calm in your life, you tend to just look over the next horizon and just think, oh my goodness, what's coming next? And so the theme tune of your life isn't so much bittersweet symphony, but there may be trouble ahead. See, when a person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, life can go from bad to worse. Because the Christian life isn't a beach, but a battle. If you become a Christian, then there will be trouble ahead. And many of you know that by bitter experience. And at least you know it now if you've been a Christian for any time. Now, Israel have just been rescued by the Lord through the Red Sea. They're standing on the beach as they watch their sworn enemies drown under the waves and wash up on the shore. They sing and celebrate. Now, we'd be tempted to lie down on the golden sands, perhaps, and catch some rays. But the Lord doesn't rescue his people for the beach. He has a much greater blessing for us. And we get a picture of it right at the end of our passage in verse 27, Elim or Elim. See, Elim is the oasis. It is the place of blessing. It is a mini promised land. In New Testament currency, it is the new heavens and the new earth. But here's what Israel and what we need to know. Mara is on the way to Elim. Elim is the place of blessing, but Mara is the place of bitter trial. And the Lord leads us to blessing via bitterness. Mara is on the way to Elim. We wish that that weren't true. How we wish that we could redirect the spiritual sat-nav which has been set for us and avoid this part of the route to heaven. But this is the truth that we need to know. And I've broken it into two parts. Firstly, the Lord will lead you to Mara. He will lead you to bitter waters. Now, it's not many days before birds get pushed out of their nests and learn to fly. And it's not many days before the Lord leads his children, his newborn children, into trials and difficulties. After the great victory, Israel have barely laid aside their tambourines, and then they're led into the desert and into trial. Sometimes in the prayer meeting at summer camp, someone will pray something like this: Dear Father, thank you that dear Tilly has trusted Christ. And as she goes home, we pray that her first few weeks as a Christian may be easy. Amen. Or something like that. Well, I've never been sure that I can add my amen to such prayers, because invariably the Lord leads people into trial just as soon as they submit to him. You can think here of Israel being thrust out into the desert just after being rescued. Think of the blind man in John 9. After he's been healed, he's immediately thrown into a conflict with the religious authorities. Think of my own experience. Since I became a Christian, having to step out of my comfort zone, tell my friends that I was a believer now, invite my lecture course to come along to the Christian Union, going home from holiday and finding myself coming under pressure from my family not to be too serious a Christian. Trials come early, and they come in various forms. You notice for the first 3 days, there's no water. And then Israel find water, but it's bitter. It's undrinkable. It's brackish water. Now, which is worse? No water in a desert or finding water that you can't drink? We might say to the Lord, Lord, deliver me from this trial of singleness. And we may get what we want, a partner. But we find that they don't care for us and they make our lives a misery. Please, Lord, we say, give me this new job, this promotion. I've worked hard for it. And then we find ourselves money rich and time poor. And we're left asking, why am I working such long hours? I never see my family anymore. Or we crave a bigger and better house. We think it will do the family good. And we move in and we discover that the neighbours have parties till 2 a.m. every weekend. If you've ever followed an exercise class or an exercise DVD, you can be in the middle of the exercise and you think to yourself, I really want to get on to the next one, only to get to the next one and find the next one's much harder than the one you were on before. The trials we experience take various forms. Sometimes the trial we're currently in, well, it's just better to learn to endure that trial. Trials come early. Trials are of varied forms, and sometimes they're just massive. Sometimes they're just huge trials. Ever been stuck in a traffic jam on a hot day? Kids in the car, nothing to drink, traffic stationary. And you sort of look down and you see that bottle of Diet Coke with a bit of backwash in the bottom of it. It's been there 8 months and you're tempted. But now imagine, if you can, 3 days in the desert, no water, and then you think, haha, here's some water at last, but it's actually a mirage of sorts because it's undrinkable. Just imagine how desperate you begin to feel in that situation. I wonder if you ever watch those SAS programs, the one where they have to sort of go through this course to see whether they could actually complete the real SAS course. So they run for miles with a Bergen on their backs. They fight each other in the mud, sleep deprivation, have to go through the interrogation. I totally love it all. But the instructors, I've noticed, they're basically trying to work out what is the weak spot of the particular person. And as soon as they discover it, they put their finger on the weak spot and try to break them. Okay, they say they're scared of heights. Let's make them abseil down a 1,000-foot dam. Right, they don't look like water. Let's push them out of a helicopter into the sea and make them swim to land. You know the kind of things. It's all great stuff, great entertainment. But at the same time, even though it's rather uncomfortable for those involved, even terrifying for those involved, most of them grow enormously through the experience. As they learn to overcome their fears, as they learn to trust their instructors and their team. And for some of them, it's utterly life-changing for them. Utterly. When God leads his children into trials, he doesn't play games. Sometimes things get very serious. And sometimes the Lord puts his finger upon the very thing that we find most precious. Our livelihoods are threatened. Our reputations are threatened. Our family. And God isn't mucking around with us when he does that. You see, we want to stay on the beach, but he wants to get us to Elim. And Mara is on the way to Elim. Now, part of me hesitates to speak of these sorts of things, but it's not wrong to. Now, I'm not saying here that the path of discipleship is too difficult and that you shouldn't take it. I am saying that we need to count the cost of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Mara's on the way to Elim. And Jesus Christ says to us, pick up your cross and follow me. Many people will say that the path's too difficult. Most of you will know part of Bunyan's allegory of the Christian life, Pilgrim's Progress. And one of the characters, Worldly Wiseman, tries to discourage the main character, Christian, from attempting the Christian journey. Hear me, says Worldly Wiseman. I am older than thou. Thou art like to meet with, in the way which thou goest, wearisomeness, painfulness, hunger, perils, nakedness, sword, lions, dragons, darkness, and in a word, death and whatnot. These things are certainly true, having been confirmed by many testimonies. But Christian replies, why, sir, this burden upon my back is more terrible to me than are all these things which you have mentioned. Nay, methinks I care not what I meet with in the way, if so be I can also meet with the deliverance from my burden. See what he's saying? Even if we meet with death on the way, only Christ can deal with our burden of sin. And so whatever it costs to follow Christ, it is well worth it. It is far better to go with Christ in this life than to try and live on the beach with the festering Egyptians. Mara is on the way to Elim. So the Lord will lead you to bitter waters. And there, secondly, it's our second point, the Lord will heal and sweeten your bitterness. See, the Lord leads his children to Mara for good reason. There's a couple of good reasons, at least. First of all, he wants to show you his grace. See, the Lord could have said to these Israelites who began to moan after these 3 days, he could have said, look, you ungrateful brats, I just rescued you from slavery, just defeated your enemies, it's only 3 days now and you're moaning. But of course the Lord is very gentle and gracious with us, especially gentle with those who are newly converted. He wants us to know, whether we're newly converted or not, that he's not only great, but he's gracious. That he's not only mighty, but he is merciful. That he is not only the Lord of hosts, but he is the healer of his children. See, we tell our children often how quickly we look for an opportunity to draw alongside them and affirm them and reassure our love for them. The Lord's like that. See, first the Lord leads people to Mara's in order to show them his grace. Secondly, in order to show them their hearts. See, it is a mere 3 days. And the choruses and dances have morphed into grumbles and moans. The human heart changes like the April weather. And we ought to feel free to blame them, I think. It's only 3 days. A mere 3 days since the most awesome triumph in history that they have witnessed. And now they're just moaning minis, and we ought to blame them. But at the same time, we need to hold up the mirror, don't we? If you've been a Christian any period of time, then you've experienced mighty deliverances in your life. Perhaps with regard to your job or your income, your health or the health of your child. It was on the line. You prayed and you were delivered. And you said, Lord, I'm never going to distrust you again. And then, not so long, you came to another Mara. And what did we do? Now, the grumbles here are ostensibly against Moses and not God. But really, they're against God, because Moses is the servant of God. We blame our situation, we blame our circumstances. But actually, we know the truth is that God stands behind each and every one of them. It's just that we lack the integrity to say, God, I'm angry at you. Our complaints are very revealing. They're not really caused by our circumstances at all. It's to do with how we react to our circumstances. Complaints flow from a bitter heart. Jesus says that it is out of the heart that the mouth speaks. See, the waters are bitter here, and so are they. Our trial is bitter, and so often are we. Verse 25 says here that the Lord put them to the test. It's not so that he would know their hearts. It's so that they and we would know our own hearts. He already knows. We so easily overestimate ourselves, don't we? If we do that, if we're overestimating ourselves spiritually, just ask yourself, how am I responding in the trial that I'm in at the moment? What's being revealed to me about my own heart at the moment? How often the case, we bubble with joy, but we lose a night's sleep and we become fire-breathing dragons. And our close families can bring out the worst in us, can't they? Christmas and Easter time particularly. Or instead of bringing out the worst in us, perhaps I should say they bring out the truth in us or from us. And bereavement works similarly. Loss, you see, drains our batteries completely flat. And when we're like that, we begin to discover sometimes what we're really like. And it's not pleasant, I know. And it is quite distressing to see what your heart is really like. Now, why does the Lord show us what we're like? Does he do it to mock us? Does he do it to heap the guilt upon us? No. He does it to heal us. He does it to make us sweet. Look, he says, I'm the Lord that heals you. Don't think this verse means, by the way, that if you summon up enough faith, then he'll get rid of that nagging cough or that life-shortening cancer. He might, but he's more interested in healing your heart. See what it says in verse 26? Have a look at it. It says, it doesn't say, I am the one who heals the bitter waters. It says, I am the one who heals you. A bit like the consultant, the reason for the scan is so that they can do the surgery. How does God go to work on us? How does he sweeten us? How does he heal us? Pray, show, throw. First, like Moses, we are to pray. Next, he will show us to do what to do as he showed Moses. And it's amazing, isn't it? Where we find ourselves in the midst of the trial and we just cannot see our way ahead. Every situation, every way of acting just looks like a complete dead end. And Moses couldn't see either. And then he prayed. And then the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Apparently, it's a particular tree that he's being shown here. Literally, it says, the Lord showed him the wood. And then thirdly, Moses, after being shown the wood, after praying, threw this tree into the waters. And it became fit to drink. Literally, it became sweet. The tree turned the bitter water sweet. Now, this can't fail to remind us of other Bible trees. The life-giving tree in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life in the New Jerusalem with leaves for the healing of the nations. And especially, of course, the tree on which Christ was crucified as he took our bitter curse of sin upon him so we could know forgiveness. See, the Lord who heals you seems to specialize in trees. And so in trials, here's what we need to do. Pray. And as we do so, the Lord will show us again the great tree of healing, the cross. And we need to throw that tree into our bitter trials and let it soak for a while. I wonder if you've been suffering pain or any other form of trial or tribulation recently. What you need to do is to pray and let the cross soak into the streams of your thinking and say to yourself, on this trial, there is not the least part of this trial which is the Lord's punishment to me. There's not even the tiniest part which reveals the Lord's anger against me. How do I know that? Because the Lord has already punished Christ for me, and the Lord will never punish the same sin twice because he's just. So what does this trial mean? Well, the trial means surely that this trial is a trial from the hand of the Lord. In fact, it's more than from his hand, it's from his heart. Because he loves me. And that is why I find myself at Mara. That's why I'm there. It's out of his love. And I can trust him. God is love. He loves his children. He loves you. And he's given you a life. And dare you say to him, Lord, you should have given me a different life. He designed your life for you with all of its difficulties and with all of its discouragements. It is custom made, bespoke. And you see, what that means is there can be sweetness even when the trial is bitter. You can rejoice in the fact that Mara is on the way to Elim. I don't mean a saccharine smile by rejoicing, of course not. William Cowper was a poet whose entire life seems to have been camped at Mara. Five of his siblings died in childbirth, and when the last one was being born, he lost his mother at the same time, at age six. He seemed to have suffered abuse of a physical and sexual kind, probably, and his life ended up just being a series of very deep depressions, darkness and paralyzing despair. Was what he described in his writings. Now, he was converted at age 30. And I'm not going to say that everything was hunky-dory from there on in, because it wasn't. He struggled with depression of a very severe kind until the day that he died. And he never understood why he suffered the way he did. But he did trust that God knew what he was doing. And his hymns, we'll sing one this evening actually, his hymns have been a great help to many, in particular this one called God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Let me read some of these lines to you as you just sort of reflect. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea, and rides upon the storm. It continues, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds that you much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. As Israel sat down to rest at Elim, they must have reflected, what muppets we've been. Why did we grumble at Mara? Why did we complain? Elim was right round the corner. See, the Christian life is a bittersweet symphony, and the reason is because there is a divine composer working in each and every one of our lives. He will take you to Elim, but you need to know that Mara is en route. A moment to reflect, and then I'll lead us in prayer. On the last and greatest day of the Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Father, we do particularly want to pray for any here this morning who don't as yet know Christ, that you would draw them to him. They would find that there is refreshment, forgiveness, and eternal hope to be found from the everlasting fountain, which is Christ. And for us too, who are struggling in one way or another, we thank you that there is refreshment on the journey. We thank you that you are leading us to that great Elim when we will one day see you. And we pray that you would give us endurance for the Maras, knowing that no matter how bitter our experience, your hand is at work and your heart is engaged with us and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.